welcome to the Happy Rant podcast. I am Ted Kluck, back from the villages, joined in studio by Ronald J. Martin and Barnabas Piper. Boys, it feels good to be back.
Are you free of disease? That is the first question.
Baby, you know what? I thank you so much for asking, and I am.
Concerned for your welfare.
No, I know. Listen, yeah, and the concern was well warranted, but I made it out of there without any crazy sex parties with the old people, so I'm in good shape.
Man, there's a lot of relief around the rant, man, because I don't feel like I could rest well knowing you were over there, Big T. So I'm glad you're back and you're healthy and you're feeling good and you're ready to carry on with life.
Baby, thank you so much. I couldn't rest well either.
That would have made for an interesting book topic, however.
It would have. Although we had some interesting book topics come out of the episode last week.
Did we not?
Yeah. I feel like it was creative. The creative energy was so... You could cut it with a knife.
Yeah, Do we wrap any of those deals? I mean, are we writing those books?
We were waiting for Ted to get back from the villages so he could, you know, he could get his head fully in the publishing game. But yeah, so we've got Raising Girls, and I don't remember the exact title, but it was I think the subtitle was something like Knock Them on Their Back.
Knock them on their back, kick them in the nuts.
That's right.
Barnabas Piper.
It's coming back to me now. And then something like You're Not Your Doggy's Daddy or something along those lines was the other one.
Lower Than God, Higher Than Dogs, A Guide to Raising Children.
Wow, you have a spectacular memory for these things, or you wrote them down and I did not.
No, it's the memory.
Surely B&H is going to be interested in all three of those titles.
B&H, we're going to get him on the phone and I'm going to pace around and I'm going to say... You know, this is a package deal.
Finger right? jabbing in the air.
Finger jabbing in the air, saying yes. Bye. Right?
Exactly. Make it happen, Ted.
Pipe, speaking of business, we are fortunate to have two business sponsors on the program again. So why don't you tell us about our sponsors? We are stoked to have them. We're grateful to have Missional Wear.
Yes.
Back in for another episode. And is it Moody? It's Moody, right?
Nav Press this time.
Yes. My bad. Nav Press.
That's right. No, actually, Moody will be next week. So you just...
Little preview.
Yep.
Little preview.
It's a preview.
A little teaser for the sponsor.
It's a little teaser. So, Pipe, this is why you handle the sponsors and not me. So why don't you tell us about
it? All right. So Nav Press is sponsoring us for these next couple episodes. And again, they wanted to highlight two books by Jerry Bridges. One is The Blessing of Humility. And that's specifically a look at the Beatitudes. And as I mentioned last time, Jerry Bridges is a model of humility, or I should say he was a model of humility all the way through to the very end of his life. Everybody who I knew who worked with him or met him absolutely loved him. So for a guy like that who was that faithful in humility all the way to the end of his life, I would say a book like this is... The proof is in the pudding on that one, so check that out. It's The Blessing of Humility. The other is his sort of staple classic work, and that is The Pursuit of Holiness. And that looks at the idea, the command that every Christian is called to be holy as God is holy. But what does that mean? Because clearly we're not God. So it's really a deep dive at the look at the character of God and how we can be holy in that kind of in those footsteps without being God ourselves. So Nav Press, thanks for sponsoring. Check out the books, The Blessing of Humility and The Pursuit of Holiness. And then as you mentioned, Ted, our other sponsor is Missional Wear or Calvinist Swag. They reminded me that you can actually go to calvinistswag.com and it will take you right to their site. So that was one that that they made that change as a response to our suggestion. So that was our influence on them.
But guys, we're changing the culture.
That's right. We are changing Calvinist culture, which probably needs a lot of changing. Father's Day is coming up. So for those of you listening who are looking for gifts, there's still plenty of time. That's about 2 or 3 weeks away. And they specifically wanted to point you to a couple new items that they have. They have a new camp-style coffee mug that features sort of a hand-sketched, animated kind of thing of John Calvin and Charles Spurgeon on the same mug, and it looks pretty cool. I like the camp-style coffee mug, so I'm partial to that. And then they wanted to highlight their pint glasses, so nothing makes Father's Day more special than kicking back with a relaxing beverage as opposed to a caffeinated one, and their pint glasses are solid. Ted specifically likes the Charles Spurgeon smoking one, and then they have Luther and John Owen and Jonathan Edwards and Augustine or Augustine, however you say that. John Knox, they've got a Five Solas one. And then they've got a Chief End of Man with sort of a cool graphic design, Spurgeon, Calvin. So they've got they really run the gamut. I realize he wasn't reformed, but they really need a C.S. Lewis glass. That's he's sort of the black sheep of the reformed family, but every
Calvinist, you need him as a reformed person though.
Yeah, he's sort of he's like the one counterbalance. We can all be like, well, I read the one guy who's not reformed.
Absolutely. And then you can say what you don't like about him, exactly. Which is a thing that reform guys love doing.
That's right. You can say, well, actually, he...
Yeah, actually, I have some reservations. Exactly. You know, I like him, but...
but, yeah, there cannot be an unreserved praise. It has to be, I love what he does, but that one thing.
Yeah, you can never just give someone praise.
Right.
Never.
So when you are ordering your pint glass, unfortunately not the C.S. Lewis one, or your mug, use the code HAPPYRANT. You get $10 off an order of... $50 or more. That's like two or three things. So you can buy one for all of the dads in your life. So dad, granddad, brother, cousin, whoever. Use the code HAPPYRANT, get that discount. And they've extended that discount through June 12th. So missionaware.com or calvinistswag.com. Use the code HAPPYRANT. Save your money. Make dads in your life happy. Go to it.
I love it. I love it. Speaking of praise and kind words,
I like where
we had some feedback from last week's ep, did we not?
We did. We had a couple of people who very kindly responded and said that it was one of their favorite episodes, and that's always encouraging to hear because
it is.
We talk into microphones, and to know that people enjoy it is encouraging. We had one guy who, before he even finished the episode, he shot us a direct message on Twitter, and he said, "Hey, I know people who live in the villages. Did you know that they have the highest concentration of STDs in the country?" And then he direct messaged again like 10 minutes later, and he said, "Oh, yes, you guys did know that."
Literally every person I've mentioned the villages to has brought that up to me.
Yeah, there's a guy I work with who's a fan of the show was saying that his parents used to live in an area, not the villages, but something a lot like it. And he said it was the weirdest, creepiest, sort of freakiest place. Yeah. And everything you described is exactly right. So there was not even a little bit of exaggeration there.
I forgot to tell you that there's a dude, a pastor in my denom that went to the villages and planted a church there.
Baby, I think I may have gone to that church. No, really? No, not in your denom. Because what's your denom?
Free Church.
EV Free? Baby, I think I went to that church.
Really? We need a little feedback just really quickly. How was it?
Baby, listen, man. I'm not 100% sure it's the same guy. B, I don't want to offend people who I love and who love me, but I'm just going to say one thing, okay? And you do with this what you will. The slogan, you know how churches, some of them have like a catchphrase or a slogan? The slogan was play hard, pray hard. Because, you know,
moving on to the first topic of the
Wait, run that one back again.
That was the slogan. The slogan was play hard, pray hard, and there was a third part, finish well, because the church was for old people, you know?
Oh.
So in a sense, like have fun with your shuffleboard and your golf and you know, your other, you know, playing hard endeavors, but then also pray hard.
Because you got to pray after that kind of play, let's be honest.
Because, you know, and that whole thing is really just taken right out of the New Testament church.
Absolutely.
Which was all really over Acts. All about play, you know.
You know what? You don't even need to preach Acts. You just have to say those two slogans and you've preached
Acts. I
mean,
Acts. Paul, all the bocce that he played right. In between beatings and imprisonments. You know?
Big T, next time I preach Acts, remind me of those two words so that we can make it a one-week series.
Will you do that for me?
I'll
send you that.
If you read real carefully into the last words that Stephen said, you know, he asked God to forgive them because they didn't know what they were doing. And then I think right after that, it might be cut from most manuscripts. It says, play hard, pray hard. Yeah. It's right there. Right,
play hard, go right play your shuffleboard.
Right before the stones hit him in the head.
There's like a little quote that says wasn't included in earliest manuscripts.
Yeah,
but you know what?
Bracketed.
We don't. We can still use it.
The stones that hit him in the head were actually bocce balls.
Yeah, I mean, those are heavy.
They are.
Wow.
Guys, yeah, it was
good
surreal.
Start. What a great start to the podcast.
I don't know if it's the same guy, Big R. But I don't know.
Ronnie is speechless. He doesn't even want to make a guess.
No, I don't blame him. Let's move on, boys. Let's use our good radio techniques and transition out of this.
We're begging you.
Yeah, mayday, mayday.
Yeah, mayday. Please. Let's talk about some other weird stuff that happened this week. And that was some crazy dude on Twitter. And you'll have to suss this out for me, Pipe, because I'm not on Twitter. I don't know how this world works.
We had multiple requests for you to get on Twitter as well, Ted. So
really?
Yeah, I responded via the Happy Rant account and said you were more likely to actually retire to the Villages than get on Twitter. But that's yes, 50-50. Multiple requests. There may be a petition going around.
Oh, well, that's nice, man. That's sweet of people to say that they want me on Twitter. You know, maybe you know, maybe it'll happen, man. Who knows? So somebody else who's on Twitter, some crazy dude called your pops and Russ Moore Satanists for promoting the adoption of minority children. Now, this just sounds kooky. This sounds as kooky as the day is long, Piper. I want you to suss this out for me.
Well, you very accurately represented his tweet. I'm scrolling back through my feed to see if I can find the exact wording. But yeah, somebody whose bio said he was a youth leader in the home church movement.
What does that mean? He's a parent?
I know, that was my response. I'm like, what are you, a dad? Are you an uncle? What is this? Multiple people said, I think that means he lives in his mom's basement. But yes, it was not a response to anything. He tweeted and said, at John Piper and at Dr. Moore are Satanists for promoting the adoption of black children instead of the giving birth to white children. And then and then I was just tagged on the end as like, I was just sort of a hanger on to his, to his hate tweet. And so, I just sort of got dragged into it. Let me see.
Now, did you destroy this guy? Did you savage him with your words, Pipe?
Okay, so I found the exact tweet. It says, "False Christians, John Piper and Dr. Moore tell whites to adopt blacks instead of making white babies. They are Satanists." And dropped down two lines and tagged me in it as well. So, and he's he goes by Pastor Mike, and he has a one of those sort of Japanimation little avatar things. So good for him. I did not savage him. I didn't feel like much would come out of that. I did, however, retweet him because it made me laugh more than anything. And I said, I can confirm two things. John Piper has four biological children and he does not worship Satan.
Just to set the record straight.
Right. You know. So just in case either of those. Well, and what's amusing to me about this is that so I am the youngest of four biological Caucasian children of my parents, and
you know, good on Piper, good on him for producing four white kids.
Also never worshipped Satan. And I do have an adopted sister who is black, but she was not, you know, she wasn't like a priority over the rest of us. We are all siblings. The biological children are there. She is there. Dr. Moore does not have any minority adopted children. He has two or three sons adopted from Eastern Europe, and he has one biological son who is also Caucasian. So I'm a little confused by this tweet, but
he's got a house full of white kids. Then he's good.
Yeah, all white kids. Yeah, I mean a couple of them are adopted, but
he's like you, Big T. Russ Moore's a lot like you.
He's like me. We both got houses full of white kids. I don't know what all the fuss is over.
The false Christians and they are Satanists part is apparently I didn't go look back through this guy's feed because I didn't feel like going waiting in the crap. But I had a few other Twitter followers who did, and they said basically apparently he's just a full on white supremacist. Just nuts.
I feel like calling Christians Satanists is so like 1970s, like chick track. You know what I mean?
It brings us
back like 40 years ago. It's like, what do you mean? I mean, that's all you got? You call me a Satanist? I mean, you like literally like vocabulary has moved on so far beyond that. You have to have a better like slang to throw at me than Satanist.
You listen to Led Zeppelin.
Totally. Right. Because you don't adopt the right kinds of kids and you listen to like Led Zeppelin and Blue Oyster Cult. You know what I mean? It's like, Right. You like AC/DC. You're a Satanist. It's like, dude, I know. I mean, I was back in 1978, but I've kind of moved on since then. So you should probably like just throw something else at me, you know?
Unbelievable, baby. Pipe, what more is there to say about this nut job?
I don't – I'm – hold on. I'm pulling up his feed right now.
He's but you know what I love though? I love – I mean, Big T, I love Piper's just cool and calm response to him. Like only the facts, ma'am. I mean, dude, you Piper's just cool. It was really
Piper's
cool,
ice,
man.
Ice water.
Bro, it was so ice. It was so ice. Well, because Big T, I'm guessing you would have responded a little more, how shall I say, violently?
Como se dice, violently.
Acerbically, let's say.
Maybe, and this, in a nutshell, is why I'm not on Twitter. In part.
Ooh, wow. He just he informed a few other friends of mine that they would burn in hell for their anti-white heresy. He says a third world non-white invasion of the USA is taking place, and that's the only issue that matters. I would venture to say his presence on Twitter doesn't matter, so he's not helping.
Dude, who else is a Satanist?
Oh, let's see. D.A. Horton, whose book was actually one of the sponsors for this. Mm-hmm. Also a good friend of mine who's a Hispanic guy. And then a couple guys who work with Dr. Moore, but that's guilt by association, so that's to be expected. Let's see. Whites adopting blacks is literally – ooh, here's a fun word. Cuckoldry. Do you know the word cuckold?
I do know the word. I couldn't define it exactly, but
I've had it thrown at me on Twitter, and that's the only context I've ever seen. I think it means that your conservative is going liberal, if I understand correctly. And then these people are sick in the head. So that would be anybody who adopts a minority child. Yeah, this guy just hates anybody who's not white.
Dude, like maybe he'll come out alive in Louisville.
And this is
I would love to have him.
This is
him
why
out.
I didn't look at his feed, because before I was amused and now I want to fight him. That was a poor decision on my part. I should not have looked at that.
This guy should come out alive in Louisville, man.
He should. I mean, he really should. I mean, we'll have to hire some security, but I think honestly, it would be really fun.
No, I would just tell I would just tell my daughter to knock him on his back.
Yeah, exactly. Exact. Precise.
Dude, we don't need a security detail. We got Pipe's daughters.
That's right. My 7-year-old will solve this issue.
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, nothing like a Piper putting a left hook into a radical
left hook into a white
liberal.
Supremacist.
White supremacist, ultra conservative, whatever.
Yeah, whatever, man, whatever.
Whatever he is, whatever kind of conglomeration he considers himself.
Whatever this guy is.
Right, whatever kind of mixed drink of political savvy he considers himself.
There is a little bit of irony in somebody who is so remarkably hateful calling other people satanic.
Yeah.
Like, he's genuinely a hateful person, like, just pouring out acid on everybody. It's ridiculous.
That's crazy. I want to see a young Piper take him down.
Is there a picture of this guy? We got
No, he doesn't have any pictures. His little Twitter avatar is like a little cartoon, which makes me wonder if the guy's like 16.
Yeah, come
I don't
on,
know what
man.
It takes. To, I don't know what the qualifications for youth leader in the home church movement are.
Guys, it's okay. We don't have to fear this guy. We can move on to our next topic without fear.
As Blue Oyster Cult once said, don't fear the Reaper.
That's exactly where I was going. You took it right out of my mouth.
And Big R, we're both Satanists for knowing that lyric.
It's true.
Picturing Will Ferrell dancing around playing cowbell right now.
I know, man. I know it. I love it.
But it's lifting my spirits.
Boys, we've got a whole episode's worth of controversy to tackle. And this is one that's big in the news right now. Pipe, you texted me the link to it. Apparently in Cincinnati, there was a gorilla shot in a zoo, because it was starting to drag a kid into the like gorilla space or whatever. And the zoo people did, ostensibly what they're trained to do and supposed to do in these situations, which is to shoot the gorilla and save the kid. And being that everybody has a voice, everybody's going nuts because this gorilla was shot, and apparently they should have let it, maul the kid. I don't know, man. This is just nutty, too. I got nothing to say about it. Big R, what do you got on this, man?
I don't know. I mean, what do you do with this? It's like trying to argue with something that lacks, any sort of, rational thought, So there's all the layers to it, is that this kid sneaks in. you know, through the bars into
the kid was
sort
like
of the,
four.
He's
right?
Like, yeah, so he's a 3-year-old who could apparently fit between like the railings on
the railings, right. He
I
gets
mean, that's
in.
A tiny kid. You can barely walk. The kid
absolutely.
Doesn't. Kids that age don't know anything. They don't know what they're doing. They're just toddling around, right?
So the big controversy now is that so the gorilla started sort of batting him around, and of course, you know, the people are watching this. The mom's freaking out. The people working for the zoo come in. They shoot him. So now it's out like, well, we should have just shot him with the tranquilizer, but then. The argument was, well, tranquilizer wouldn't have wiped him out quick enough, and then the kid still might have been like harmed. And then the other thing is, well, what about the mom was neglectful? She was neglectful for letting her kid. So the person that again at the end of the day, the person that gets the least amount of concern and care for was the person most at harm and in danger, which was the kid who was saved. Who, of course, we would all as rational. People who value the life of kids would say, well, of course, like that was the most value part of the two person animal slash equation there. And but again, you know, it's that literal outrage over the wrong things that is just so common when something breaks, you know, in social media. And that's really who gets most of the noise too, are the people that are just literally, you know, spewing ridiculousness, right? Pipe, am I there with
that?
Yeah,
I think you pretty much hit the nail on the head. I just, the thing that is baffling to me is that all of the people involved are the bad guys. Well, the kid is a non-entity. That person never gets talked about. The kid who was at, you know, apparently moments away from being killed and apparently animal experts are saying that the behavior of the gorilla was really aggressive, whereas all of the Twitter animal experts are saying that it was being mothering. So I don't know who we trust.
Like, it was like making a sandwich for the kid and like right. trimming the edges off.
I'm inclined to go with the actual zoologist as opposed to the Twitter zoologist. But the mom is apparently a bad person for losing track of her child. I've raised two children, or am in the midst of raising them. I raised them past 3 years old. And I will say this, any child who makes it past 3 years old without getting hit by a car or falling off something tall, it's a miracle.
I couldn't agree more.
It is a miracle that I ever kept track of my kids, and I tried hard to be a good dad. Like, good parents lose track of their kids, and this one just happened to be by a place where it could get itself in a lot of trouble. Like, it could have just wandered across the playground somewhere else, but here there was a gorilla enclosure. And then the zookeeper who shot the thing, like, high five, zookeeper. You saved a child. I feel like you deserve praise not to have all this criticism heaped on you. That is
Yeah, that's a bummer for that dude. You know?
And there was an interview with whoever runs the zoo, and he said explicitly they did what they were trained to do. Normally we try to tranquilize if the option is there, but for an animal that large, it would not have acted fast enough to be sure that we could save the child, which means his priority was being sure that we could save the child. And I don't know. That just seems exactly right to me. But on the other hand, I'm not at all surprised by the reaction. Like when the story broke, whatever it was, 2-3 days ago from when we're recording this, and I knew that people were going to go, ape over it, in terms of just like, how could they kill? I mean, there was remember the hunter, the dentist who killed the lion last year or whatever it was, and everybody went crazy. Now, granted, that's different because it's a safari and it's a hunting trip, which means that there might be an argument that he shouldn't have done that if you really want to go down that road. But like, if a rabid dog charged my kid, I would rip it apart with my bare hands, or kick it, or club it, or shoot it, or whatever I needed to do to protect my child.
Knocking on its back.
Well, Piper, of course, you're the same one that would have your kid do the same thing to an animal, obviously. So, you know, maybe you're the wrong guy to be talking.
That's true.
About
I'm
this
the
right
one
now.
Who did propose children fighting Shih Tzus last year.
Yeah, you're the one that would just say, hey, why don't you just go and tear that dog limb from?
And
limb.
Then big
you
arm
wouldn't even do it for your kid.
That's right. Go get him, kid.
Yeah, and if it was a dog, I might not be that sad about it. What I don't really understand is I just feel like we have – you know, the same – I mean, again, what I want to know is, are the same people complaining about the ape like meat eaters? Like, did they have burgers that night while they're like blogging about this? Like, what I want to know is like how far does it go, and why do we have this bizarro like sort of cuddly – like just affection for animals to the point to where like we literally do elevate them above human life. And I'm not trying to get all that.
I think it's only
right
certain animals. Because imagine if that thing had fallen into like a boa constrictor.
Yeah, for sure.
Enclosure.
Nobody, right?
And all of a sudden the snake started to like wrap the thing up and they shot it. Everybody'd be like, good riddance.
Yeah, nobody would be sad about that. But because it's a cuddly, terrifying, just literal like blood-sucking ape, like somehow, you know what I mean? You see the picture I'm painting here? Like not a real cute, cuddly, nice animal, right? Like nobody's snuggling up to ape, you know, at night, you know, when they go to bed at night and, you know, watching TV and eating ice cream. I mean, this is like a killer beast, right? I mean, like, so why are we – the elevation part of it is so – strange to me, Big T. I don't understand like our sort of this weirdo affection we have for pets over people.
Baby, here's my thing with the zoo, man. And I'm going to take it out even a step further. I have two boys, all right? My boys are 13 and 10. They've both gone to public schools. I go to the zoo, you guys, and the zoo is just like – and we may have to cut this out. The zoo is just a collection of penises for them to look at and giggle at and make jokes about.
Oh,
you
not,
know what I mean?
We're not cutting that out. That's scary,
everywhere we go in the zoo. It's
the ape enclosure is always the
prime real estate for that. Right? Yeah, I get an elbow in the ribs.
Could we call it primate real estate?
Really bad, Piper.
Yeah.
First the ape. Yep. All right, Mark, you know where you're going to be doing your cuts, man. It's...
You know what I'm saying, though? So it's like we got to go to the aquarium. We got to go to like the avian like bird thing just to get away from all the junk, you know? So my kids wouldn't have even really been near the ape thing. It would be a non-issue for me. Yeah. All right, boys. Let's talk about the final thing here. And
there's a segue here that you're just not going with, Ted.
Yeah, I know.
There's a lot of segues. There's a lot of transitional elements that you can be bringing
because I'm
to
being
the table
a pro.
Right now.
I'm being a mature adult.
Fine. Let's go with speaking of transitional elements.
Yeah. Speaking of transitional elements, We're going to bring this up, boys, because we are in media and we have to. We haven't really talked about this yet, this thing, this phenomenon, this controversial thing that everyone's talking about. Big R, you texted us that you had a pastor who just wrote to you about protesting a Target for the gender bathroom thing. Now, suss this out for me. This guy was saying, hey, there's going to be a protest. Will you join me? Or isn't it kooky how these guys are protesting? What was the context for this thing?
Well, look, all I did was I got a, you know, there's a Target, you know, in the vicinity. And so I got, you know, a pastor from one of the churches in town. I just got an email. It was like a group email. So I was with a bunch of other like church leaders and pastors. And he just said, hey, it looks like I guess Target's coming down to make a decision about what's going on with their whole like, you know, bathroom gender, you know, story. And they're going to make a decision on how to move forward and what to do. So he said, I'm trying to gather up a bunch of people to go to this particular Target and protest and make sure that they make the right decision and that they, you know, stop this ridiculousness. And so he was coming to that Target.
He was coming to like the nowhere Ohio Target to make
absolutely.
The decision. That's
crazy. No, so he knows. So in other words, like what he's hoping is that like, you know, when this decision comes down or either right before it comes down or right after, I'm not sure. Like he's hoping that or maybe there's like this movement of like people that are going to be gathering at Targets, protesting, making sure, you know, the decision is the right decision. And so he was just trying to gather that particular crowd for our Target and seeing if I was interested in going. So I just thought that was interesting because then I had a talk with my wife about it, you know, and of course, inevitably it gets into this idea of protesting and, you know, sort of the effectiveness of protesting. Some protests are good. You know, I mean, I'm all for some, you know, protests where Christians gather and they need to let their voice be known. And then I think there are other protests, which I feel like this might be in the latter category of which I don't know if it's the best thing for people of the church to actually invest in something of this particular nature. I don't know. So I'm just throwing it out there for you boys. Let's dialogue about this because I would love to hear where you're at and see where we end up with this one.
Pipe, what's your take on this, baby?
I mean, I think along, you know, one of the early episodes of this podcast, I think we talked about boycotting in general. I don't remember what context it was, but just maybe just sort of Christian boycotts in general. I tend to feel like they're a waste of time, effectively, and they misrepresent what we believe. Because, you know, there is a time when boycotts work. I mean, you can think of a few in history. But the thing about boycotts almost always work when one group is marginalized and but that group is a significant enough portion of the population to financially affect whoever they are boycotting. So think like the bus boycotts during the civil rights era. There's a marginalized group, and they effectively financially ruined the bus industry because they were a huge portion of that. That's effective. It's not effective when Southern Baptists boycott Disney, for example, because Disney doesn't care, and Southern Baptists aren't a marginalized group.
Right.
I think that's what this comes down to is there's no marginalized group. Like, Christians want to claim that we are marginalized. Somebody promoting something that we do not agree with is not the same as marginalizing us. Marginalizing us would be to say if they said you are not allowed to shop at Target anymore, you are not allowed to use the bathrooms anymore, and then if we collectively rose up, maybe there would be an effect. But the problem is that this paints conservative evangelicals as haters, which we already have the reputation for anyway. We certainly don't need to loudly confirm it in anyone's mind.
Yeah, I like that. I mean, so let me ask you this then. Go over the last, 10, 20, 30 years. What do you think have been worthy protests?
I think protesting abortion is worthy. Okay. I mean, I don't know that picketing clinics is worthy, but like gathering around political institutions. So like on the right to life, those marches where a group of people are peaceably gathering to protest a marginalized group who cannot speak for themselves, in that case, the unborn, and trying to sway the opinion of the people who can actually change laws. I don't think picketing an abortion clinic is probably terribly effective, although, the church I grew up in did that in the early 90s, but even some of the people like my dad who were involved in that have looked back and said they probably wouldn't do it the same way now. And so I'm trying to think if there's just – I feel like in our society it's – I don't know if it's the individualism. I don't know if it's the fact that the culture has moved and progressed so far past evangelical values that it feels like it's just sort of screaming into a closet to do it most of the time.
And I think – I want to hear you weigh into this, Big T, because here's the thing. I do think that – I don't know if it's our generation. I know we're a little separated in age. We're close enough. But I think like there's just something that I'm – personality-wise and sort of the way I'm wired inside, I'm like so – like I have such an aversion to like this type of reaction. You know what I mean? And I have a feeling like you are too, Big T. And I wonder if it's a generational thing. I wonder if it's just a pragmatic thing, like we just absolutely don't think it's effective. Or is there just something more personality driven inside, which just says, this is just dumb. Like I don't know, weigh into that a little bit.
I think it's all three. I really think it's all three. Like I feel, and maybe it's a sense of, I don't know, just feeling like I can't make a difference, but feeling like, me walking around with a sign is dumb. You know what I mean? Like these decision makers, they're going to walk right by. They're not going to care. And two, Big R, I mean, I think it's a question of gifting and like, I don't know, I'm a writer, you're a writer. Like, I think if anything, I would be more inclined to write something about it. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. If I had an issue and we've done this in the past, I've done it. I mean, write a piece for, I don't know, the local newspaper or Christianity Today or some media outlet that would run it where, I get to give my perspective on one of these things. I'd be more inclined to try to do that. But even with that, I don't feel like, well, I'm going to write this piece and it's really going to stem the tide. You know, it's going to sway public opinion. I mean, you just kind of do whatever it is you're gifted to do and, have a realistic viewpoint of it. So yeah, I can't really ever see myself walking around in front of some place with a sign and really feeling like, yeah, I'm making a difference, that being said though, and this came up a few minutes ago, I am boycotting Disney now because I'm boycotting Disney on behalf of all
impatient people like myself who like to be cool because it's hot and it's all about waiting around. So until they change those two things, I'm not going back.
Until it's not in Orlando anymore.
Right. Until it's cooler and there's less waiting around and it's cheaper and it's less loud. And it feels just more like my house. And I'm not going again. Oh, good grief, boys. Anything else on this boycotting thing?
I think boycotting and protesting are different because you can quietly boycott.
That's
and,
true.
And that can have an effect. Now, I mean, I don't think we're going to have any effect on Target by boycotting, but protesting is. I don't know if it's because we live in a digital age and everybody has a voice now, but I feel like things like that had an impact when it was a shock to see tens or hundreds or thousands of people publicly demonstrating against something. Now, if you go on Twitter and look at a hashtag, you can see tens of millions of people protesting a freaking gorilla getting shot any time of day. So public protest and public expression is kind of cheap and meaningless, and you're throwing pearls before swine and kind of making yourself look like an idiot in the process.
Exactly. Well, boys, this has been enlightening. We've covered a lot of ground again, a lot of controversial ground. So my sense is there will be more response via Twitter and Facebook. We still have that, right? We have a Facebook. So if you're so inclined, go on to Twitter and follow us.
And Ted will not see it.
I won't see it. I won't have a clue what you're doing on there, but go on there and follow us because we are the kind of guys who find validation in numbers and in the number of people who are following us. So do that for us. Follow us or like us on Facebook, whatever it is you do on Facebook now, do that. And,
you know what else would be great, Big T?
What would be great, Big R? You tell me.
I'm going to tell you. I think it would be really fun is if we had somebody come out and protest live in Louisville. I think that would really
I would love
just kind of confirm baby, everything we're talking about.
You are such an idea guy. Can I just say that? Is that weird?
That. Thank you.
Can we put this out as an open invitation to white supremacist youth director Mike on Twitter to come out and protest? This is an open invitation to white supremacist Mike. Come protest out. Live in Louisville.
Now you got to pay the cover charge and you got to buy a t-shirt. So you're going to go home with a missional wear Calvinist swag, Happy Rant official event shirt that you can do whatever with, but you gotta pay to be in the door of that hipster coffee shop, and you're gonna be expected to buy a latte.
It is a white guy on the logo, so he might. You think he would wear the shirt?
He'll be fine, guy. Don't worry about him.
Like an ethnic guy in the logo just for this event.
That's
you
right.
know,
yeah. And then make him wear it.
He might be a Martin Luther fan, so there might be a little way that he can justify the whole thing. So, you know,
We'll see, man. But maybe we'll see him in Louisville. Maybe we won't. What's the date again on that, boys? Let's promo that a little bit.
Let me check my
19th or 20th, I believe.
My Happy Rant, calendar right here.
Yeah.
You know, it would be, I believe it would be the 23rd, October 23rd.
I was in the right week.
You're in the right ballpark there. Yeah.
All right. October 23rd.
Speaking of ballparks, I'm going to be heading to the Indians game tonight. So we might have something to talk about as I do a little commentary on
going to the Indians again. Remember when we did that a few years ago?
Absolutely. So I'm going to do a little commentary on Progressive Field, maybe on the next rant, and tell you a non-sports person's opinion of this sport that we like to call baseball.
Baby, we had a great experience at the Indians game.
Did you sit out in the bleachers and bang on drums with nobody else there?
Listen, Ronnie and I, we've watched a lot of baseball together over the years. In that, remember when we were in beautiful Toledo and we got comped tickets to a Mud Hens game?
It was
worth memories. Like $8, right?
Yeah, no, but listen, don't ruin this for us. But we got comped some beautiful baby tickets. These must have been fans of our work.
And we got to watch gratis the Toledo Mud Hens. And
it was a big night. It was a big moment, and it's a memory that will live on in infamy.
It will live forever in both of our minds. So I want to hear a full recap of what happens in Cleveland tonight. Are you going with Smikowski?
Oh, no, no, man. This is like a church-wide event that
is
we
it
put
like
together.
Faith, is it like Faith Night at the ballpark?
It is.
So they have Stephen Curtis Chapman singing during the seventh inning stretch or something?
Boys, let me repeat the insults that just got hurled at me. This is not Faith Night.
It's not Faith Night.
No.
Okay. So it's just regular general public night.
This is just general public. The church is going out. We're going to do hot dogs. We're going to hang out. We're going to talk. We're not really going to watch baseball.
Are you sitting in the family section where they allow no drinking and swearing is frowned upon?
I cannot confirm that. I don't know where we're sitting. I didn't put it together.
Gotcha.
So I'll let you guys know all of that next week on the ramp. Absolutely.
Baby, do you even know the team that they're playing?
I actually have no idea.
That's fantastic.
Yeah. All
it
right.
It makes me happy that you don't know.
No, it's
not
good.
A clue. Literally not a clue. The Washington Senators, I don't know. I like the name. I don't know. So
I love it. I love it. Baby,
nice. It's going to be nice.
We will look forward to that recap, and we can all three of us talk a little sports next time. That'll be fun.
It'll be great.
You'll be included. I love it.
Baseball.
Well, baseball, exactly. Boys, we have wandered to and fro, and it has been a pleasure, as it always is. And until next time, Rachel the Held Evans.
This is Perseus Poku, host of the Sound Reasoning Ministry podcast. Learn how to share and defend your faith by listening to us weekly. Subscribe at lifeaudio.com.